making a decision to be here this morning with people who love the Lord. So I want to begin, as Joe said there, by introducing myself a little bit. And it would happen. All right, it's good. All right. So a little bit about me. I'm here today with my wife, Terry Lynn. We currently live in St. Mary's in West Virginia, and we had a wonderful Sunday drive this morning. My son is getting ready to turn 11 years old tomorrow. He's with some of his family this weekend out of town, so I have a very active, beautiful son, Keaton, my wife, Terry Lynn. My family are all from the southern states around Tennessee, Arkansas, and Mississippi. I've spent the last 20 years of my life in full-time ministry, and I'm so thankful for the opportunities that God has given me through that to travel and to speak and to encourage and equip fellow believers in Jesus Christ. I've spent the last 9 years in our local community there where I live, and I've made good friendships and connections. And it's amazing to me when we identify ourselves as believers in Jesus Christ, how that allows us anywhere we go, anywhere life takes us, to be with other believers in Jesus Christ and to have that in common. We're in a day and time where we want to focus on what we have in common in Jesus Christ and allow God to bring us together. And certainly today, that's my goal for all of us this morning during this time. Let me begin with a blessing for you today. I believe and I know that the Spirit of God is here today. Can you say amen to that? Amen. The Spirit of God is here today in this place. The Spirit of God is moving. The Spirit of God is moving. So as people of God, this morning, let the Spirit of God move you. And let the Spirit of God move through you. And let the Spirit of God work with you. In Jesus' name, amen. I think that's important. It's a blessing before I say anything else to acknowledge the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is here today. The Spirit of God is moving. So we have to allow ourselves to believers in the Spirit of God, to let the Spirit of God move within us and move through us as we seek to please our God. And I also want to have a declaration this morning. Declaration before I go any further with the message, and here is the declaration. I believe every time that I study a message from God's Word and I get ready to preach, anything that I am able to preach will teach. If I'm able to preach and I'm able to teach, then it will reach. So that's my role during this time, and my role that I've been blessed to have over the last several years is to be able to go and to preach and to teach and to reach. And I believe your role here today as fellow believers in Jesus Christ, those of you that have made the effort to get up and be here this morning in this place. So I'm going to preach and I'm going to teach and I'm going to trust that it's going to reach. And I'm going to ask you today to receive it and respond to it. So I'm going to preach and teach. I know it's going to reach. And I'm going to ask you to receive it and respond to today's message. I would like you to continue to say amen and to interact with me this morning. I believe that the Word of God is alive and well and active and, again, will speak to your hearts this morning. So in our Bibles today, our key text this morning is going to be Romans chapter 12. If you have a Bible or you can access that on your phone this morning, we're going to look at Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. This particular teaching of the Apostle Paul is so important in the lives of those that give their lives over to God and are trying to follow the teachings and the example of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 12, 1 through 5. Let's consider what it says for us today. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters in Christ, in view of God's mercy, to offer up your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to who? To God. Amen. So there in that one verse is something that is told for every believer in Jesus Christ to do. To offer up your bodies as a living sacrifice to be holy and pleasing to God. And in this particular translation, I love the conclusion here, and it's not much different in any other translations, but at the end of verse 1, it says, when you do so, this is your true and proper or pleasing worship to God. Amen. Romans chapter 12, just verse 1. And so it gets me to thinking about how we should live our lives and the way we should view our lives. To offer up our lives as we are living on this earth as a sacrifice to God that is holy and pleasing to Him as true and proper worship, our offering to God. Our offering to God, how we live our lives and what we do with our lives. Then in verse 2, verse 2 is so crucial. 2022, in this crazy culture we're in, where we should feel like our views and the way we're trying to live and even what the Bible teaches conflicts with our current culture. Verse chapter 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. You see, transformity or transformation is the opposite of being conformed. Being conformed means just be like this, be like everything you see or however everybody wants you to be. But no, be transformed. Be different. How? By the renewing of your mind. You've got to think differently in addition to living differently. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is for your life. And I love the end of verse 2. God's will for your life are these three things: good and pleasing and perfect. The will of God. Amen? And so we have to submit our will to the will of God. We have to recognize that God says, if you're going to live for me, then you're going to have to offer up yourself to me and live your life according to my will, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. You can't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, realizing and thinking about the will of God. Then it goes on in verses 3 through 5. I would like to continue reading there from Romans chapter 12. By the grace that has been given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought to. You know, that's kind of a problem right now in our culture, that everything's all about me and, hey, look at me and let me tell you how great I am. Our job as those that have given our lives over to God, following the example of Jesus Christ, is let me tell you about how great God is. Let me tell you what Jesus Christ has done for me. Point people to Jesus. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with sound and sober judgment. To me, what that means is the gospel of Jesus Christ, realizing that you're a sinner, realizing that you and I mess up every day, we fall short. We can't be everything to everybody, but the pressure of this world has especially young people confused about their identity. Who am I? Who am I anyway? And if we let the world give that message to our precious young people especially, they will wonder, who am I? What am I living for? What's my purpose? What is my calling? Again, I call your attention to these wonderful verses in Romans chapter 12. Continuing on in verse 3, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has given. Verse 4, for For just as each of us has one body with many members, there he's talking about the physical, one body with many members, you know, the hand, the foot, the ear, the eye. And these members do not all have the same function. Verse 5, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others. Verse 5 of Romans 12. In Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others. So say this with me. We are one body, and we belong to one another. Amen. Do you know there's so many people out there that need that? Amen. There's a lot of lonely people, a lot of lost people, that they need to understand that when you give your life over to God and you begin to follow Christ, it allows you to be connected with those who are a part of the family of God, the body of Christ. It is a beautiful thing. Amen? It's a wonderful thing. There's so many people lacking that and need that, but it requires transformation. It requires giving our lives over to God. It requires us thinking humbly about ourselves. It requires us to understand who we are and to think soberly about our lives and to look around in our culture and in our world today and say, you know, our culture and our world doesn't really have the answers for all of that, but God does. Amen? Amen. So Romans chapter 12, 1 through 5 highlights this message for you today. What it is that people of the church do. So if you give your life over to God, you surrender your life to Christ, you receive Him as your Lord and Savior, you become a part of His church, the family of God. And I love the comments to begin our service this morning is, isn't it great to come together on this day and be together with fellow believers in Jesus Christ who want to love you and help you and support you in this crazy world. Amen? We are the church together. And so as people of the church, we are called to live a life with these three virtues. We are called to live a life with these three virtues. So if you're taking notes today, my message for you today is, as people of the church, we are called to live a life of these three virtues, and these three virtues are this. We are called to live a life of surrender, of sacrifice, and service. As people of God, as those who are trying to be like Jesus, as people of the church, we are called to live a life of surrender and sacrifice and service. There was a man named Bruce Larson who told a story about trying to help people who were struggling to surrender their life over to the cause and the calling of Jesus Christ. He says, for many years I worked in New York City and counseled in my office nearby any number of people who were wrestling with this yes or no decision. Often I would suggest that they walk with me from my office down to what's known in New York City as the RCA building on Fifth Avenue. So I've been there, and it is indeed a huge building and a busy street in downtown New York City. So RCA building on Fifth Avenue, in the entrance of that building is a gigantic statue of a character known as Atlas, a beautifully proportioned man with all of his muscles strained, trying to hold up the world on his shoulders. There he is, the most powerfully built man in the world in his story, and he can barely stand up under the burden. Now that's one way to live, I would point out to my companions and those that I was trying to help and counsel, trying to carry the world on your shoulders. But then he would say, come across the street with me, and on the other side of Fifth Avenue is a church building known as St. Patrick's Cathedral. And there behind the high altar is a picture of the boy Jesus in his youth. And with no effort, he is holding the world in his hands. have a choice, Bruce Larson would say. We can carry the world on our shoulders or try to, or we can say, I give it up to you, Lord. Here's my life, my world, my all. I give it to you. Reminds me of the song that we sing with young people, but the teaching is so powerful. He's got the whole world in his hands. And you and your children and your family, he's got them in his hands. And so sometimes we need to be reminded of the importance of surrender. Did you know that surrender is oftentimes, in a lot of other ways, if you surrender, then you're weak. How many of you have heard that? If you surrender, then you're weak. Well, sure, in certain other areas, I suppose, if you surrender, you're weak, or you've lost the battle, or you've lost the fight. But if you surrender to God, you surrender your life over to Him, you're actually much, much stronger. Amen? Lord, I give you my life. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. That's actually lyrics from a wonderful Christian song, This Is My Desire. So what is it that church people do is that we live a life of surrender to God and to the will of God. As hard as it may be, the Apostle Paul said, he said, I fight this battle every day. You know, the very thing I want to do, I what? I don't do, and the things that I don't want to do, I end up doing. He described that struggle in the book of Romans. So if he had this struggle, we're going to have this struggle. Even when we want to surrender to God, we struggle with it daily. And so each and every day is a new opportunity for us to do that. We must remember. We must remember that just as the different parts of our bodies have different functions, so you and I, too, in the body of Christ, have been asked to surrender to the cause of Jesus Christ. And did you know that a life of surrender also leads you to a life of service? A life of service. People of the church are called to serve. It's a very sobering question for you and I to consider today. To ask me, even if I look back this past week, and I ask myself, did I serve many people this past week? Did I live a life of service this past week? The opposite of living a life of service is a life of self and a life of selfishness. And so what I love about Sundays, and I hope that you will recommit yourself today to be regular in coming together with the people of God at least on Sundays, because the Sunday, today, Sunday, is the what of a new week? It's the start of a new week. Amen. And so it's the start of a new week. So we're starting a new week. And as we look back even on this past week, we can ask ourselves very humbly today, how did I do? Did I live a life of surrender and did I live a life of service? Did I serve anyone this past week? Or did I mainly seek to serve myself? Seeking to serve yourself is a life of selfishness. And certainly we see that in our culture and in our world today. But as people of the church, the picture that I'm painting for you this morning is that we're called to be opposite of that and different of that, as it says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And so a life of surrender and a life of service. Would you consider as well with me today Mark chapter 10? If you have your Bibles or on your phone, Mark chapter 10. Specifically in this message today, consider verses 41 through 45. Mark chapter 10, verses 41 through 45. There is a group of regular followers of Jesus known as his disciples. That's what disciples are, everyday followers of Christ. And then also there were the 12 apostles that he had called to help him with his earthly ministry. And in this particular story, starting in about verse 41 of Mark chapter 10, they started to be selfish, very selfish. They were being selfish amongst themselves, and they came to Jesus about it, wanting to know what Jesus thought, essentially, about their selfishness. And so Mark chapter 10, start in verse 41 and read through verse 45, what happened here. So there were 10 of them. There were 10 of them around Jesus. There were 10 of them around Jesus, and they had become very angry with James and John, who were the other two of the 12. So the other 10 were angry at James and John. Why? Verse 42, Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them." Verse 43, "But not so with you. Instead," to me this is a verse right here that many of you may have highlighted in your Bibles already, Mark chapter 10, verse 43. "Whoever wants to become great among you must first be your what? Your servant." Amen. We got so many people like that are like, "What are you going to do for me?" We've got these contractual and conditional relationships with people. "What are you going to do for me?" Or, "If I'm going to do this for you, you're going to have to do something for me what? First." And I love here, and listen, these are the closest followers of Jesus Christ at that time, the 12 that he had chosen to help him with his earthly ministry, and they were misunderstanding, and they were kind of beginning to maybe get a little full of themselves and think of themselves more highly than they ought to. And Jesus said, "Look all around you. Look at how they do things and how they lead. We must be opposite of that. And if you want to be great, you must first learn to be a servant." And then in verse 44 and 45 of Mark chapter 10, "And whoever wants to be first must be like a slave to all, for even the Son of Man," referring to himself, "did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Amen. Mark chapter 10, 41 through 45, Jesus taught them that. He taught any who would come after him and follow him, we must live a life of service. Are we doing that? It's a very important question. If I claim Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, if I'm calling myself a Christian, so if I am claiming to be a Christian and calling myself a Christian, and I have to be like Christ and follow the examples of Christ, and he said you must surrender your life over to me and my calling, and you must be a servant. It's amazing to me how many people, even in the body of Christ, are people that like the idea of being a Christian or call themselves a Christian, need to be reminded of this. This is not optional. You must live a life of surrender and a life of service, and every single day, as much as it is possible within ourselves, to surrender our lives to Christ and ask God for opportunities to serve. And so each and every week, ask ourselves that when we come together on Sundays. Am I still today living a life of full surrender and service as people of the church? Many of you know and have studied the presidency of Franklin Roosevelt. And during his presidency, he had a very close advisor to his presidency, a man whose name was Harry Hopkins. Let me tell you a little bit about him. During World War II, when his influence with Roosevelt was at its peak, Hopkins did not have any official cabinet position. Hopkins' closeness to Roosevelt caused many to regard him as some sort of shadowy, sinister, selfish figure. As a result, he was a major political liability to the president in the minds of those who were also close to the president. In other words, they were jealous of him. And a political foe once asked Roosevelt, "Why do you keep this Hopkins man so close to you? You surely realize that people distrust him and are resenting his influence." And Roosevelt replied to them and his critics by saying this, "Someday you may well be sitting here where I am now as President of the United States of America. And if or when you are, you'll be looking at that door over there and knowing that practically everybody who walks through that door wants something from you or out of you. You'll learn what a lonely job and a lonely calling this can be sometimes. And you'll discover the need for somebody like Harry Hopkins, who asked for absolutely nothing but to serve." Winston Churchill would then go on to rate Hopkins as one of the half dozen most powerful men in the world in the early 1940s. And the sole source of Hopkins' power was his willingness to humbly serve, asking what? Nothing in return. Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, humbled himself to the point that he washed his disciples, the Bible says dirty, but I would also add likely very stinky feet down the long dusty road. And one of his followers said, "No, not me. You can't wash my feet. No, you're Jesus." He said, "Unless you let me do this, you're not a true follower." That was Jesus. Now, I'm not suggesting today that you and I need to go from here and necessarily wash everyone's feet, but I've been a part of those type of services before. It's very powerful. It simply represents that you're willing to humble yourself and serve people to that level. Amen? There was the woman who came to Jesus and took all she could afford, the most expensive perfume of her day, and anointed Jesus with it, and she was chastised. As, "Why are you wasting that?" And she was so remorseful and so tearful that it says that her tears were at the feet. What did Jesus do with that woman? He exalted her example and said, "You might want to look at this woman. You might want to be like this woman." I love how Jesus would take people who are willing to serve and would show that their service is more worthy than gold. Amen? And so we go. Here we are in this day and time, trying as followers of Jesus Christ today to live a life of surrender and a life of service to God. As people of the Church of Jesus Christ, we are a part of the Church of Jesus Christ, with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. Jesus Christ and the Church. Jesus said the Church will continue to go on. It will stand and it will endure. And you and I need to believe in that and rededicate ourselves to that cause and that calling again today. Jesus said, "Not even the gates of hell will prevail against the Church." Do you still believe that today? Amen. So as long as this old world is here and people are living on it, then we will always have the Church. And we need to be encouraged by that. And we need to believe in that once again today. Surrender to God and continue to serve Him and be like Jesus. And trust God to guide you and to inspire you to live this way in your everyday lives. In a world of selfish gain and seek me first. How many of you would raise your hand and you see that every day? Amen. A world of selfish gain and seek me first and get out of my way, and I don't care who I have to go over or around or step over to get whatever I want. We've got to be different from that. Amen. A life of surrender and a life of service, and God is going to bless that. He's going to bless you for it. That's the life that I'm trying to model for my son. I'll give you a quick story. My wife, in her wisdom, because she has a son that's much older than him, talked to me one time about, what do you think about having your son having to earn? I'm sorry, young people here today. I'm about to set something up. It may not be in your parents' and grandparents' minds just yet. What if you set him up to have to earn his privileges? What if you set him up with the mentality that everything will not just be given to you, and you shouldn't expect everything all the time, every day, because it ultimately leads to selfishness? That's not just family values, that's biblical values. And a lot of times as parents, we want to give our children the very best that we can offer them, but you know who else wants to do that for you? Your Father in heaven, who loves you. But you have to be willing to do it His way, to receive these blessings. A life of surrender and a life of service. And I'm going to close with that third virtue, a life of sacrifice. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will what? Be added unto you. Matthew 6, verse 33. And that one verse is a prescription for everyday living that requires sacrifice. Seek first the kingdom of God. I want to be a part of the kingdom of God. I want to be a part of His church. I want to give my life over to Him. I want to be a part of His family. All of that. Seek first God and His righteousness. A very simple definition of righteousness is I want to be right with God. Before I'm overly concerned with being right with everybody else. So even as Christian people, they struggle sometimes with this one verse. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God is going to bless you for that. But a lot of times we want to be right with everybody else, and we're overly concerned about being right with everybody else sometimes before whether we're right with Almighty God. And a lot of times we seek everything else, you know, worldly gain and all of those things, and other how other people would define success. We seek all those things first before the kingdom of God. And so this right here, Matthew 6:33, to me is what I would call like a dashboard verse, okay? Put it where you can see it. You know, have it in your home. Have it in your heart. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But you got to surrender. You got to live a life of service. And you're going to have to make some sacrifices. How many of you made some sacrifices even this morning? Surely you did. Because you know what option B was? Stay at home. Get a little more sleep. Go out and do something outside. And so, even this morning, you have made sacrifices by coming together to be with the people of God. And God asked us to do that. So I'm going to close out the message with a calling for you to respond to now that you have received the message today. So here is the calling for you to respond to. The questions from this message today as people of the church living a life of surrender and sacrifice and service. Do you really believe today, once again, that God will honor a life of surrender, sacrifice, service? If you believe it, you have to go out and show it. How much of your life are you willing to give over to the cause of Christ, calling to God? The invitation of the Lord is still the good news today. He says, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you what? Rest. I know you. I love you. I need you to trust me. give your life over to me, surrender your life over to me, live a life of service and sacrifice, and I will bless you. Beyond, the Bible says, whatever we could ever ask or imagine. Amen? Surrender and serve, and you will be rewarded by God for this type of life. Service above selfishness. So here's the invitation. Are we ready once again to surrender today? I believe each and every Sunday that we can all respond to the invitation of God in some way. Amen? If we look within ourselves, and like I said, we look back at just this past week. You know, how did I live? What did I do? You know, how can I be better? So the invitation of the Lord is still the same today. Surrender your life over to Him. Realize that you're a sinner. Realize that you mess up every day. Realize that you cannot possibly fix or make right everything in your past. You can't do it, and you shouldn't try, because you can. Only God can fully atone for the sins and the mistakes of our past. Do you know that there are people out there every day that are reliving their past over and over and over and over again in their head? That is the curse of sin. And without the salvation of Jesus Christ and the blessing of God upon their life, they will be cursed to perpetually doing that in their minds and their lives over and over and over and over again. My wife and I are passionate about being with people in that state in their lives and getting them to realize that you have tried this before and it has not worked. You need to give your life over to God and to trust His power and to trust Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, to atone for that and to make you whole again. Amen? To take your brokenness and fix it. So if you haven't done that today, God's calling is upon your heart and your life today at any age to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Mess up every day. The cost of my sin is great. I've hurt people. I've wronged people. I've made a mess of things. And so I need salvation. I need a Savior. And I believe that Savior is Jesus Christ. I want to receive Him in my heart and in my life today. Lord, will you help me with that? Lord, will you come into my life and give me that salvation that comes through Jesus Christ? If you have not made that confession and said that prayer, you need to do it. Because otherwise, you're trying to do everything on your own. And on our own in this world, we will lose. Amen? So surrender. And when it comes to sacrifice, any sacrifice that you make on the altar of your life will never be greater than what Jesus Christ has done for you. Amen? The way I look at it is, is anything I do with my life is simply returning back to God what all He has already done and greater than anything I will ever do. Amen? Anything that I offer up to God on the altar of my life is greater than anything I could ever do because of what He has done and what He will continue to do. Make those sacrifices. God will bless you for that and honor that. And when it comes to selfishness, seek to serve God. God will see you. He will bless you for living a life of service in addition to your surrender and to your sacrifice. So can we say amen to the message today? Thank you so much for your kind attention. Respond to this message today. Again, when I stand before people who are willing to listen to the Word of God, again, there's preaching and teaching with the goal of reaching each and every one. I ask them to receive it and respond to it because there is something in this message today, I trust, that you can leave from this place today and use in your everyday life to help you to continue to come to God and respond to the calling of God upon your life. Amen. So if you have a need today, any needs of the church, you need to respond to I ask that before you leave this place today, that you let these dear brothers and sisters Christ know about it. Because that's what we're here for. We're here for you. We're here for one another. We're here to lift up the name of God because of our love for God, and help us to live for God. We lose him here today. Amen.